host has spent decades studying the Bible in the original languages. He holds degrees from the University of Wisconsin, Moody Bible Institute, Asbury Theological Seminary, and Bethel Theological Seminary. With the help of some of his friends, in 1994, Dr. Rako founded a national volunteer ministry to hunters. He is an author, dog trainer, and speaker. Tom served as a full-time pastor for 36 years. Now here is your host, Dr. Tom Rako.
Thanks for joining us here on the Rock Dove Publications Quill. During today's program, we're going to be talking about a divine dividend. That's a story from Hunting Miracles, Ancient and Modern. And I'll also be sharing from my book, Devotions for Dog Lovers, The Dark Side of Dogs. I hope that you enjoy today's program. Divine Dividend. The large buck's rack glistened in the morning sun as he crossed the open valley behind the barn. It was a beautiful sight, and I wept as I watched. But tears weren't running down my cheeks because I had been touched by nature's grandeur. No, the reason I was weeping had to do with surrendering a part of my life to Jesus Christ. This is an area that I must confess that I sometimes still struggle keeping in the right perspective. The sight that morning out the back barn door where I was milking cows for a dairy farmer made it seem like God was rubbing salt in my wound. You see, a few weeks before the season, I became convinced that God wanted me to give up deer hunting. However, that was one thing I did not want to do. It became even more difficult when the farmer I was working for that year offered to post his entire farm. Besides the cropland, this farmer had over 300 acres of standing timber. It was and still is some of the best deer hunting country in central Wisconsin, and I could have hunted it all without having to compete with any other hunters. But now, as the buck made his way across the harvested cornfield, my mind was filled with doubts. I could no longer buy a license. It was too late. The rifle season had already opened. At first, I was angry at God. I thought, how could you ask me to give up something I enjoy so much? Then later, I started wondering if maybe I had gone crazy, or perhaps I had merely fooled myself into believing that this was what God wanted me to do. Or worse yet, what if the devil himself was trying to use me to turn others away from Christ? After all, what truly dedicated deer hunter would be drawn to Christ by my giving up hunting? Well, to make a long story short, I managed to make it through that deer season and decided not to hunt the next one either. God taught me a great deal during those 2 years about things like pride, greed, and selfishness. I began to see how prevalent they were in my life and in the lives of certain other hunters as well. As a matter of fact, the Lord is still cleaning a whole lot of these wrong motives and desires out of my life. Nevertheless, when the third year finally rolled around, I knew that the Lord wanted me to hunt. And needless to say, He didn't have to twist my arm too hard to talk me into it. That year, I ended up harvesting the biggest buck that I had ever taken up to that present time. Now, this heavy-beamed 10-pointer was no record breaker. For some, I suppose he could have been merely classified as a really nice buck or a dandy deer. But the point is this. I know it was not by coincidence that this buck was harvested after I surrendered this area of my life to Christ. Nor was it an accident that a fellow hunter who knew my situation and whom I had been trying to win to the Lord Jesus Christ remarked out of the blue, "Tom, you gave your deer hunting to God, and He allowed you to get that big buck." No, these things didn't take place by chance. I believe God wanted me and others who I hunted with to know that He is intimately involved in every aspect of life. And when we give something to God, He either replaces it with something better or makes up for it in another way. Now, more than likely, the Lord is not going to ask you to give up hunting. However, He might want you to make some major modifications in the way, how much, or with whom you hunt. Surrendering your deer hunting to Christ won't guarantee that you will tag a bigger buck next season, but it will make you grateful in the long run. Jesus told his disciples that those who give up things for his sake will eventually, quote, receive 100 times as much, unquote, Matthew 19:29. Now, was this a miracle? You may have already concluded it was not, or that it was. Nevertheless, I can tell you that there were certain changes that took place in my life, although perhaps tiny in the big scheme of things, that have continued to prove to be very significant to me. I can honestly say, leaving the big 10-pointer out of the equation, that that year I truly received a lasting divine dividend from the Lord.
Hunting Miracles, Ancient and Modern, contains true stories of how God has worked in the lives of hunters down through history. This unique work, edited by Dr. Tom Rako, contains true stories by 9 different contributors. In Hunting Miracles, readers discover miracles that took place on hunts more than 1,000 years ago. See how God has used deer, ducks, geese, and even wood ticks to reveal his power and presence. Be encouraged by how the prayers of desperate hunters have been answered in amazing ways. To order your copy of Hunting Miracles, go to the Rock Dove Publications website at rockdove.com. Again, to get your copy of Hunting Miracles, be sure and visit rockdove.com.
Do you know that dogs have a dark side? The pack consisted of about 12 dogs of different shapes and sizes. There was a terrier, a German shepherd, and a variety of breed mixes in between. They were just farm dogs, people's pets who were living a double life by staying home part of the time and running with the pack the rest. They had killed 2 of the neighbor steers, each of which weighed close to 1,000 pounds, and had also torn up one of our heifers. Somehow, being in a pack had changed these dogs, or more accurately, had served to reveal their natural inclination. Quite obviously, these domesticated canines had not killed out of a need to eat, but rather out of a simple desire to kill. Of course, down through history, dogs have helped humans in a variety of ways, and at times even saved lives. Admittedly, I am a confirmed dog lover. Nevertheless, we need to remember that every dog has a dark side. It's the same critter that we may let lick our face also carries a somewhat sinister streak within. However, dogs are not the only ones with a dark side. Every human harbors one as well. Sadly, we humans frequently behave in a surprisingly similar fashion to that of a pack of dogs. It normally happens when a group which is misguided by an individual or small core gangs up on their victim. Such behavior takes place on school grounds, at places of work, on the internet, and increasingly against individuals involved in church leadership. One popular psychiatrist in modern times has labeled this base behavior group evil. Even so, such mongrel mentality is not new. It's been around a long time. Moses and Aaron experienced it, as did Joshua, Jeremiah, and of course the Apostle Paul. Jesus Christ facing such opposition was even foretold in Scripture. In Psalm 22, David disclosed certain details about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ literally centuries before it came to pass. Interestingly, he used dog pack type behavior to describe some of what Christ was to suffer. David unveiled this painful prophetic event by stating, verse 16 of Psalm 22, "Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet." Clearly, the cross is a place of great contrast. On the one hand, there is an abundance of human vulgarity and depravity, pack mentality. However, at the cross, we are also granted a convincing glimpse of both God's goodness and generosity. Indeed, Jesus did for us what we could never do for ourselves. The Bible tells us, Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." Yes, he became the prey, so we could receive the pardon. Have you recently shared the good news of God's pardon with a friend? Some friend may be waiting for you to do just that. When we come back, we'll have some closing remarks.
You can learn more about the book that tells this true story and others. For example, find out how dogs in Bible times were used to fulfill specific prophecies. Discover how some dogs with disabilities did some amazing things. Hear how a dog collected money for orphans. Learn about the first canine to be launched into outer space. Gain insight as to how God is using dogs in our world today, and much more. To order your copy of Devotions for Dog Lovers, go to the Rock Dove Publications website at www.rockdove.com. Again, to get your copy of Devotions for Dog Lovers, visit rockdove.com.
You know, it is fascinating to see how human nature has not changed, and neither has canine nature. In fact, 1,000 years before is when David penned those words in Psalm 22. And I'm going to read part of that psalm to you from Psalm 22, written about 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was crucified. And David, experiencing rejection and humiliation, somehow pens words that ultimately were prophetic and detailed about the Messiah. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises, and you, our ancestors, put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. To you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions that tear their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. Now that was David in Psalm 22, about 1,000 years before the crucifixion. But certainly, when you read that psalm, you see the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might be made the righteousness of God, that we might have a relationship with the living God. And God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, he didn't wait for us to get all cleaned up, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And friend, no matter where you're at right now, you are not out of God's reach. His arm is long. He loves you. In John chapter 6, Jesus himself said this. He said, "The one who comes to me, I will never turn away." So maybe you feel that you've done too much or you've gone too far. You haven't. He will receive you. He's longing for you, just like that prodigal son in the Gospel of Luke came to his senses and decided to come home, and his father, seeing him a long ways off, ran to him, embraced him, and received him, and threw a big party. And God loves you, friend, and I hope that you'll be encouraged by that thought. And I hope you'll join us again next time on the Rock Dove Publications Quill. Check out the website, rockdove.com.
You've been listening to the Rock Dove Publications podcast with your host, Dr. Tom Rako. This program has also been brought to you by The Quilted Arrow, home of intelligent, stylish, field-bred English pointers with bloodline streams from Hall of Fame champion Guardrail. Thank you so much for listening. Now this is Beth Rako inviting you to join us again next time on the Rock Dove Publications podcast.